Tonight, Chromecast is 1 year old. Is Instagram going after Snapchat? And why Amazon's latest earnings look so dismal? Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 136 for Thursday, July 24th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/TN2. Hello, I'm Sarah Lane, and let's get right into the tech feed. It's been a year since Google released the Chromecast, the $35 TV streaming dongle, which the company says sold millions of, with users making more than 400 million casts. To celebrate the anniversary, Google's giving users a free 90-day subscription to All Access Music, its unlimited streaming music service that normally costs $9.99 per month. More than 6,000 developers are actively working on more than 10,000 Google Cast apps across Android, iOS, and Chrome, and Chromecasts are now sold in 20 countries. In other Google news, VentureBeat is reporting that, as rumored by Variety back in May, the company has signed a deal to buy game live streaming firm Twitch for around $1 billion. They're citing anonymous sources familiar with the matter. Google's YouTube division is reportedly in charge of the acquisition. Twitch, which is based in San Francisco, allows users to broadcast their own gameplay sessions on a PC or an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 to online viewers. The company has over 50 million monthly active users and more than 1.1 million members who broadcast videos each month. And according to data from Sandvine back in March, Twitch represented 1.35% of all internet traffic. Amazon's second quarter earnings are in, and the company reported a 27-cent per share loss on revenue of $19.34 billion, which is a bigger loss than analysts expected. For the quarter, the company's revenue grew 23% when compared with the year-ago quarter and had an operating income of negative $17 million, which is down from its year-ago tally of $79 million. That would be in the plus side. The company also had a net loss of $126 million in the quarter, much more than its $7 million net loss in the year-ago period. The company notes that since its Fire Phone launch, quote, the rate of app submissions to the Amazon App Store has more than doubled. Also, according to the company, its web services group, Amazon Web Services, has hired thousands of employees in the last year, which could be contributing to these big losses. Amazon now employs 132,000 employees. Following the earnings news, the stock was down, losing around 5% of its value. Some changes afoot at Microsoft-owned enterprise social networking service Yammer, which has operated mostly independently since its acquisition by Microsoft in 2012 for $1.2 billion. That's a big difference. Yammer co-founder David Sacks announced on Twitter today that he is leaving both Microsoft and Yammer. And ZDNet's Mary Jo Foley reports that Microsoft is moving Yammer into the Office 365 and Outlook development teams. Bloomberg is reporting that property site Zillow is seeking to acquire rival Trulia, citing anonymous sources. There are a lot of those today, which would combine the two most visited U.S. real estate websites. Bloomberg notes that Zillow could value Trulia at as much as $2 billion and may pay two-thirds of the purchase price with its own stock, and that an agreement may be announced as soon as next week. Still a rumor for now, though. Coming up, why Wikipedia is blocking an IP address from the U.S. House of Representatives. And after the break, the Next Web's Martin Bryant joins us to talk about some new developments in Facebook apps. But first, let's talk about a free and secure tool called Personal Capital that solves some barriers when growing your wealth. You want to be wealthy, right? Well, there are lots of ways to be wealthy, but it can be hard to keep track of stocks that you have some stocks in, or your 401ks. How many of those do you have? I have like seven from old jobs, bank accounts. Maybe you've got your money all around, all on different sites. It can just be a hassle. Maybe you're paying somebody to manage your money for you, But are you paying them too much? You probably are. Personal Capital brings all of your accounts and your assets onto a single screen that's on your computer, on your phone, on your tablet with real-time graphs. The company recently announced an award-winning app with Android Wear that's available for download in the Google Play Store. It's a watch app. It integrates with Personal Capital on other Android devices. So you've got relevant and timely updates when you're on the go of your finances. It shows things like how much are you overpaying in fees? Are those 401ks docking you every month? How do you reduce those fees? How do you get rid of them entirely? You get advice on optimizing your investment. So why wait? Signing up takes just a minute. And it'll pay back big dividends. Personal Capital gives you total clarity and transparency to make better investment decisions right away. Set up your free account now by going to personalcapital.com/TN2. Personal Capital is free. It's totally free, and it's a smart way to grow your money. Thanks to Personal Capital for their support of Tech News Tonight. Joining us now is Martin Bryant, editor-in-chief at The Next Web. Hey, Martin.
Hello.
And thanks for staying up late. I know it's quite late across the pond where you are.
Just after midnight, but happy to join you.
Well, happy to have you. So we talked briefly on the show yesterday about Facebook's quarter two earnings. They were pretty robust. And some interesting statistics in the mobile department. 399 million mobile-only monthly active users, which is about 30% of its active user base of 1.3 billion users. But most of that growth is happening outside the U.S., Canada, Europe, which is sort of where the legacy growth of Facebook started in the first place. If mobile is growing so quickly and outside of some of these countries, how do you see the Facebook experience changing?
Well, I think obviously it very much justifies a lot of the work that Facebook has done over the last couple of years to make itself a mobile first company. But it's not necessarily easy riding to see these numbers for Facebook, because the average revenue per user for each of those users that they're gaining in these other parts of the world beyond the US, Canada, and Europe, a lot smaller. They can't make quite as much money from each of those users. Just for comparison, US and Canada, Facebook makes $5.79 average revenue per user. If we go to the rest of world category, which is outside US, Canada, Europe, and Asia, it's only 83 cents. So they may be gaining lots of users there, but they're not quite as valuable. So Facebook will certainly be trying to find new ways of monetizing within its apps to make more from this growth it's seeing outside its traditional stalking grounds.
Well, new ways like more ads.
Well, yes, certainly. I think we'll see see more ads. I think Facebook has been very cautious about the way it's been introducing ads. It's obviously seen success with things like its install ads for apps. It's we've seen things like native video advertising within Instagram and all these kind of ideas slowly being tested and tried out. It's a balancing act, though. Mobile, obviously, a very personal medium, and Facebook going to have to be very, very careful in how it monetizes mobile. But there's certainly a lot of scope and some very interesting possibilities for the company, I think.
Speaking of possibilities, a report from Recode today noted that Facebook had at least been in preliminary talks with the Uber team about a possible integration of Uber, the car service, into the Facebook Messenger app. Now, Facebook says that they have about 200 million active Messenger users. That would obviously be good for Uber, just as far as it getting new users. But as a user, why would you hail a black car or a taxi from within the Facebook Messenger app?
It's a slightly puzzling idea from a user perspective. Absolutely. Uber is already integrated with Google Maps, and that makes perfect sense. You're looking for a way to go somewhere. You have your public transit options, driving options, walking. Uber, fantastic. I mean, that makes sense. And Google, through Google Ventures, has a huge investment in Uber. Kind of mutually makes sense. With Facebook and Uber, Facebook Messenger, it does seem strange. Obviously, Facebook, now that Messenger is fully broken out from the main Facebook app, looking for ways to monetize it. And I can see how app integrations would make sense. And it could be that Uber is just one of a number of integrations it's discussing with other potential partners. It's just speculation, but it would certainly make sense. And if you imagine Facebook has its app links technology, where you can open one app from another app, that could be used here to simply take you through to Uber, and then from there you could order an Uber, and Facebook gets a cut of Uber's revenue from that. That kind of makes sense, but yeah, I can't see many people ordering a cab from within Facebook Messenger, because there aren't that many conversations you're going to have where you'll have to end up getting a cab. Not many, I wouldn't have thought. Maybe a few booty calls, I don't know, but not that many. Not for me, anyway.
Well, CEO Mark Zuckerberg said on the earnings call yesterday that the company was not going to pursue a cheap and easy approach to generating revenue from Messenger. So one would think maybe this is about billing information, even if there aren't so many users that are hailing at Uber taxi or car from within the app. It's still something that the company, if it can integrate well, could benefit from.
Yes, I think that certainly billing information is very useful. Certainly when you see the discussions around a Facebook buy button being tested, I think that certainly as much billing information as possible to make kind of friction-free transactions possible within in Facebook is certainly a good thing. And I think we're certainly going to be seeing a lot more commerce, us being prompted at least to make more transactions through Facebook. Obviously, how that works, especially with iOS and Apple wanting to take its cut, will be an interesting problem for Facebook to get around. But certainly expect to be put into more potential buying situations within Facebook over the next year, I think.
Speaking of Facebook apps, Instagram users, some of them have been reporting banner advertisements in the Instagram app for a new app called Bolt, which actually exists, but this is something else entirely. This is described, at least in the screenshots that have been sent into publications, as one-tap photo messaging app. And then next to the app's name and description, there's a download button that linked at least at one point to the Google Play Store, but it's a URL that doesn't work. Okay, so what's going on here? Is this some sort of Snapchat clone for Instagram? Facebook already made Slingshot, which is its own Snapchat clone. Or just an app install ad platform that's being rolled out? Or what do you think?
I think there are two possibilities here. You were just showing the TechCrunch report there, where they were speculating it could just be an app install ad test. So it could just be a dummy app they made up, and they just stuck the ad unit there to A-B test how many people tapped the free button to try and download it. That would be quite a frustrating thing for the people who tried to tap it, obviously. But, that's one possibility. But if I was a betting person, I'd say that it seems very likely that Facebook would have some kind of app like this in the works. Obviously, it's only a few weeks, less than 2 months really since Slingshot came out, and so I don't know whether they'd launch another messaging app so quickly, but certainly Facebook has been very open about the fact that it's it's trying lots of different things with mobile. It's trying these apps that some of them may work, some of them may not, but let's just get them out there, see how people react to them, and hopefully something will stick. I'd say that Slingshot, obviously I've got no access to Facebook's figures on that, but my guess would be it hasn't stuck. It certainly hasn't stuck with anyone I know because of its incredibly bizarre
I
know. I just have a load of unread messages on there because I know, will ever read this, and before I can see it, I've got to send them a message, and it just goes on forever. So I just think,
the endless loop that doesn't work. Nobody wants to get in there.
Yeah. It's like it's designed to create a loop of engagement, but it's over-designed, I think.
Right.
Now, Bolt, on the other hand, from the four-word description we've seen assuming this is a real app, is one-tap photo messaging, which sounds very much like TapTalk, which is a really nice app for very quickly sending photo messages to friends. You know, in a couple of taps, you can send a photo. And I was having a photo discussion, sending photos between me and our community director yesterday. He was on a train and I was in a coffee shop, and very boring, blurred photos, but it was fun. And you know, Facebook is certainly shameless about copying other people, as we've seen in the past with some of its spin-off apps. So if it is that, it's certainly very believable and could well work. As for when we'll see it, that's an interesting point. Slingshot was leaked about a week before it was launched, so maybe we'll see Bolt next week, but who knows? Maybe we'll never see it.
Exactly. Martin Bryan is the editor-in-chief over at The Next Web. Thanks so much for joining us, Martin, and tell folks where they can keep up with your work.
You can head to thenextweb.com and catch up with all our work there. And personally, I'm Martin SFP on Twitter.
Thanks so much for joining us, Martin, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Finally, I mentioned Wikipedia bans in the Congress. So here's the deal. A Wikipedia administrator has blocked anonymous edits from a congressional IP address for 10 days because of what is considered disruptive edits being made by someone or someones located in the U.S. House of Representatives. The changes were monitored by a Twitter account called @ congressedits, which automatically tweets changes to Wikipedia pages made from within the Capitol. And bizarrely, some of them included moon landing conspiracy theories, among many other things. Wikipedia has around 1,400 administrators who have been approved by the Wikipedia community to monitor the site for abuse and vandalism and trolling. Obviously, this fell under that. It's a 10-day block, but it only affects one IP address, which could potentially be used by a number of different users within the Capitol. So good luck finding the culprit or culprits. And that is it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. You can subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2. Write us at tn2@twit.tv with questions, comments, and feedback. And don't miss Tech News Today. That's tomorrow and every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Sarah Lane. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.